Hi guys, welcome to the Runoff. I'm Erica here with my producer Richie. Say hi, Richie.
Hi.
They can still hear you. Okay, so I wanted to try something new today. Being a 36-year-old woman, our clocks start ticking. We start to have all these ideas. Should I do this? Should I do that? Time's running out. And one thing that I've known probably since I was like 7 years old, that I didn't want to have kids. It wasn't a never say never. It wasn't I will never. But I just knew since I was like a little girl that I didn't think it was for me. I saw people and, I saw maybe ways that maybe I would want to do it. Like some of my friends had moms and dads and, you could see the pros and cons of like having two parents and like, oh, maybe that would be kind of nice. But for the most part, I saw a lot of struggle. And I saw it just looked harder to me. I don't know. But, as you get older, you see different kinds of families. And you're like, you start to realize that just because you're a woman or just because you're of a certain age or you don't have to make the same decisions as everybody else. You can decide your life. And growing up, whenever I was like a little kid and I imagined being a big girl or being all grown up or being off on my own, I just didn't imagine myself with children. It just was never that way. When I would imagine like going on vacations or going on trips or meeting Prince Charming, the man of my dreams, whenever I imagined my future, it was never with kids. But, now starting to turn 37, which I will be in October, it gets you to kind of thinking like, did I make the right choice? Am I making the right choice? Do I want to change my mind? It's just like you want to decide that you chose to have kids or to not have kids based on your own ideas and understanding and not different things that you saw that could have changed or framed your mind. One person that I've seen be an amazing mom, a mom that if I was a mom, I would want to be, is my very best friend, Anita. We've been best friends for 24 years. We were little seventh graders in 1996, and we met on the first day, and literally, after maybe 30 or so minutes of talking, we're like, we're gonna be best friends for the rest of our lives. Like, weird, odd. We just knew. We just knew. And I think if us having so much in common, when I watch her and her child, who is basically our little mini me, I look and I'm like, okay, like I watch her and I'm like, I would probably do it like that too, or she gives me the idea on the shoulda, coulda, woulda if it had ever happened. So I just wanted to ask her as a mom some questions that like if you were to ever try to make like a hard decision and you could like go to the master and be like, master, tell me, give me the answers. I just wanted to pick her brain a little and ask her questions on being a mom. So I want to introduce you guys to my very best friend, Anita.
Hello,
Hi.
hello.
Okay, so Anita is in Massachusetts where we grew up. And as you guys know, I'm here in Miami Beach. So she's FaceTiming me and we're gonna get to some questions.
I can't wait.
So, we're still in quarantine. I don't know when this podcast is going out. I'm not 100% sure. So, Mom, how are you doing quarantining?
We are doing as well as we can. It's been a couple of months now, so I've become the educator. I'm the teacher now, and also I've been out of work, so being home every day, learning new routines, it's been quite challenging.
I'm sure. I am sure. And that's the other thing too. It's like on top of being a working mom, now you're like transitioning to like a stay-at-home mom and homeschooling and
Definitely did not sign up for that.
Yes.
I'm very thankful for the teachers a lot more now.
Oh, I'm sure we all are.
Yeah.
I'm still working with my allergies, guys.
Moved your tissues.
Move my tissues.
Like those.
Producer.
Yeah.
Producer, bring the tissues. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna kind of hop into it because I know us, and the reason why we named the show The Runoff is because on this show I run off. I go off topic a lot, and instead of just acting like it doesn't happen, I embraced it and named the show The Runoff. So we're gonna get right to these questions because I know as soon as I start asking them, we're gonna run off on some random ass shit that's got nothing to do with nothing. So
yeah. Sounds about right.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so I'll start off with, did you always know you wanted kids? Like, were you that little girl, like, I'm going to have all the kids?
Yes, I think I was definitely that little girl. I'm going to have kids. I'm going to have, you know, all these little babies. And, you know, I could see myself being the mom. Because I remember even when I was little, I used to love playing with dolls.
Yes.
And, you know, I was that mom. I wanted to be the mommy with the kids. So I can say yes, I guess. That is something I thought, you know.
Yeah.
As a young child, I'm going to grow up and be a mom.
Yeah. And did you imagine if you, like, wanted a boy or a girl?
Well, I thought I wanted, you know, girls and boys. I wanted more so boys because I felt like I was more like that, you know, sportsy type of person. I was a girly growing up, but like to raise, I felt like it'd be easier to raise a boy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'd like to have a boy, but I thought I was gonna have, you know, boys and girls.
Yeah. I think I remember that when we were growing up, that you wanted, like,
so, and I was like, oh, I'm having a boy probably, or I would like to have a boy.
Yeah. So I kind of remember this a little bit, but what was your reaction when you found out you were pregnant? Because I remember when you called me. I remember like it was yesterday. I remember where I was sitting.
I was completely sick and in shock.
Yeah.
I believe it. Because I had a feeling, and I was very, very early, but when I took the test, I didn't think that it was actually going to show up positive so quickly.
Yeah.
At that moment, I feel like everything changed and stopped, and I felt sick. I felt dizzy. I had to put water on my face. Like, yeah. I was at Elisa's house, and she didn't know I took the test. You know, I in her bathroom because I didn't think, oh, I'm probably really not, but let me just take it. And then I was, and it was like, this is not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
At all.
And it's so funny because I remember, like, oh my gosh. So you were, what, 27?
No, I was 20. I just turned 25.
Yes. Okay, so you were 25. And here's what's so funny about me not wanting to have children, right? As you get older, okay, so like when you're 15 and your friend finds out you're pregnant, you're like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? Like, but when you're like 25, 27, 28, it's like, oh, okay, like you're initially scared, but then you're like, okay, I'm going to be a mom. I was like, oh, what are you going to do? And it's like, and we're older now. It's not.
I kind of felt like that too, though. You know, I couldn't believe it because it wasn't planned. So I was kind of in shock.
Yeah.
And my whole world, everything that I thought from that very moment changed because it was like, is this really happening?
Yeah.
And now what am I going to do? I have to do this. I have to do that. So it was like a whirlwind. And I knew, okay, yes, I'm 25. I was stable. I had a good job. But it just, I was in shock.
Yeah.
It just turned 25.
Yeah.
This wasn't my plan. So, yes, I felt like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
This is crazy. But I, at the same time, I knew, you know, there's obviously a baby inside of me, there's something there, and I felt a connection, you know, so it just kind of made me, wow, like, this is what I have to do, let me call the doctor and see if this test is real, or if it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's, And then she said, most of the time, there's not, you know, false positives.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was like, let me go get a blood test.
And Ina's like, I need 62 confirmations, please. Double, triple check.
Lise was all excited because she had already had two kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She's like, you're in my world.
She's excited. And I'm like, I'm not telling anybody. I have to let this soak in.
Yeah.
And I did for a long time. I didn't tell anybody because
I remember when you.
And, you know, they say, you know, you shouldn't tell anybody after a certain time.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Barely 5 weeks when I found out.
Yeah.
Very early.
Yeah, I remember when you told me I was going to be an auntie, I was like, holy wow. I was happy for you, but I was like, another one bites the dust, man. Another one bites the dust.
I felt that because I know, you know, we know each other and, you know. Still, like, I think, you know, you were just trying to do your thing down in Miami. Like, I haven't even had a chance. Like, we didn't have a chance to just, like, have that time, like, catch up.
No,
like,
I was still in Boston. So,
on your end, oh, she's like, oh, won't see you forever.
Yeah, no, I was still in Boston.
Were you?
Yeah, I was. I was living with my aunt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was living, but I was in Boston. I wasn't, like, in Brockton all the time anymore. So it was, like, not far away, but I was still, like, not around like I used to be at that point. So it was like, oh, man. Like, it was hard to see it. Now it's going to be really hard. But, I mean, like you said, you were 25. You had your career. You know, you were doing well for yourself. You were still traveling. And I'm sure we'll touch on it later.
Yeah.
But your husband, we all met on the first day of seventh grade, so he was my friend too. So
right.
It wasn't like, I didn't think you were in a bad place. I didn't think you were in a bad situation. Like, you know, I know that you're very responsible and you're the type that's like, I want to plan things out. I want to know what's happening. You know, I want to have a plan. So I realized like what it was for you in that moment to not, to have wanted to have planned it and not having planned it. But at the same time, I've told you this many times since then, I wasn't concerned for you at all. I was like,
Well,
that's what you do, and she's going to do it. She's going to be great at it. It's going to be fine.
And that's just what I put all my focus in at that point. I feel like it just, it consumes you.
Yeah.
It definitely consumes you.
You just become it overnight.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, like, kind of... You explained it, like, when you found out your holy shit moment, but what, after, like, she came into the world, were you like, holy shit, I'm a mom?
Yes, especially because we're, just like you said, I like to plan, and I like to be ready, and I like to be prepared. She came 5 weeks early, so I was not really, like, where I wanted to be. I had everything ready for her to come back home, but I didn't even have, like, the basic backpack. You know, I was at work when I went into labor.
Yeah.
So it was like those things that, you know, you think you have planned, you really don't. It's kind of out of your control. So then when she came, it wasn't like I had a chance to even think, oh my goodness, you know, she could come any day. She just came. And then to find out after she came that she could have had a lot of problems because she was early.
So
I didn't even realize any of that. It was more like a state of, you know, shock. I mean, I just kind of went through it and had her, but then didn't really realize probably until maybe that night after I ate two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches after I delivered her, I was starving, that she was here.
Yeah.
I didn't know, looked at her and it was like, what happened, you know? Oh, I put myself in a whole nother state of mind when I was in labor. Like, Fierce even thought, he didn't think that I was going to be, he thought I was going to be one of those, No, I was very calm.
Yeah.
Let's get it done. Here she comes. I think it was more that night with her by myself, you know.
Yeah.
And he's sleeping, and she was there, and it was like, what do you do now?
Yeah.
How do I do now?
Yeah.
I guess her up. I guess you know, I mean, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I kind of had my bond with her, and that's when I felt like, you know, I'm going to do the best thing for her at the time, what I thought was, you know, and I ended up doing the breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And that's not something I ever wanted to do. I was so like, that's not what I'm going to do. I remember his parents asking, you know, what am I going to do? That's what they did for him. That's what they did for him, this, that, and the other. And it was like, I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know? And then her coming early and looking at her, I just felt like this is the best thing I could do for her.
Yeah.
You know, at that moment, that was not me.
Yeah.
You know? That was not Anita. That was like a total, went into like that nurturing mom mode, like the animal. Feel like your instincts kick in, and that's what happened for me.
Yes.
They totally kicked in with 100,000%. And
that's what people say. And it's funny hearing you say, like, you're like looking at her, like, what do you do now? So I want, you know, I know you well, but I want everyone else who's listening to this to know that she has three younger siblings who she was a second mom to, who she took care of on the regular, who she fed bottles. She made plenty of bottles in her lifetime, changed 122,000 diapers, you know, gave kids their first sippy cup, laid them down to bed, put them to sleep at night. Like, we were watching those kids. We were like the big sister mom babysitters.
Right.
So even in the moment of having three younger siblings, you know, to hear that you were in that hospital, like, what now? And then for your instincts to just take over. You know, it gives perspective to, like, what if I don't know what to do? What if, like, you know, or maybe people think they know what they're going to do because they've had younger siblings that they've taken care of. But in that moment in the hospital bed, like you said, laying there with her at night by yourself, you're like, well, what now?
Exactly.
Like, well, you know what now? You've been there when the baby came home, but you're sitting there with your own baby like, well, I don't know what to do. You do know what to do.
You do, but it's just like that moment of, you know, because, in, you know, it's a big difference, obviously. You know you're pregnant. You know the baby's going to come out eventually. But it's a different, it's been so different from, you know, like you said, taking care of other kids, doing this for other people, raising this one, doing that. And then it's yours.
Yeah.
You look at it and it, you know, you just can't believe that you made this human.
this other living
especially
being.
Myself, because, like I said, it just wasn't part of my big plan, I guess.
So that brings me to my next question, which was, I know in that moment, you're like in the hospital, everybody's coming to visit you, and then you get home or whatever. Everybody, literally, and their mother wants to give you advice. Everybody wants to tell you how you should do it. This is what you need to do. What was some of the best advice and some of the, like, keep it to your fucking self, I know what I'm doing. Like, some of the worst advice that you got.
The best advice I can say that I got was from Mika. And she told me, I'm going to tell you right now, don't ever be quiet around that baby. She said, play that music. Make phone calls when she's sleeping. She said, you laugh, you vacuum. She said, don't be quiet around that baby. And that is one thing that I remember sitting there on my appointment. Must have been like the couple week visit or whatever. And I got that message from her and she's called me and told me. And that was one of the best things that she could have ever told me. Cause I'm going to tell you, she sleeps to this day.
Yes, and she does.
She was always the best sleeper. You could have a parade going by, the band could be playing, and she's tired, she's going to sleep.
Yeah.
You could fall asleep, I could take her out, put her back in the house, she's going to, you know, continue to sleep and do her nap. Like, she was, like, really good. She slept through sound, so I could get things done when she was sleeping. I didn't have to tiptoe around her.
Yeah.
That is definitely
I remember
great
when you fight. Told me that when I went to go visit you guys and I'm like in the room and I'm like, oh, she's sleeping. Mm-hmm. And you're like, girl, you better talk normal. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy you said that because I was like, I don't know what this is going to be if we got to whisper the whole damn time.
Right.
Especially the way we laugh and then when we start talking, we're like, ah, we get all crazy. I was just like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
I don't know. This kid's going to be awake the whole time. She's going to be yelling at me because I don't know how to keep my mouth shut.
Right. You're like, I have to be different. Because, you know, there are people that that's what they like to do, you know, whisper and, you know, whatever.
The baby runs the house.
The baby's sleeping. You know, the baby's sleeping. You know, you put the, and it's like, no, I didn't want that. I didn't want to have to deal with that. You know, yeah. When I had, or if I'm, you know, she's taking a nap and I need to, you know, I want to watch my show or finally make a phone call and talk to somebody on the outside world. I didn't want to be talking like this.
Yeah.
I want to be able to
talk.
I was
like, I'm sorry, Nita, I can't hear you.
You know, and it's like, that's just not how I want it to be. And I guess I can't really, you know, I can't really think of too much or of any advice that I got that wasn't, I guess, helpful in some way.
Oh, that's good.
I'm trying to think, you know. I can't really, nothing's really coming to me. I mean, I even had one person where I thought it was like, I was kind of like offended, but there was a lady and she was Analia's daycare lady for the longest time, Teresa. She told, because her hair was growing.
Yeah.
She said, part it into three. And she said, you know, you should part it into three and this, that. And I thought, you know, don't tell me how to do my kid's hair. Like, I'm not, you know, her hair's a little bald in little places. So then what did I do? I started doing it. And you know, she was so right, and you know, and I love that lady. She was amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
And it's funny because you know you're a new mom and you don't know what you don't know. So when people tell you, it's like, what are you talking about? But it's like,
you know. But I'm happy that I didn't have too many people try to, you know, tell me what to do with my kid because you know I try myself not to do that with people or. That I know that has children because I feel like, you know, we all parent in different ways and, you know, what works for you may not work for me, you know? So exactly. I'm glad I didn't have that because I'm the type of person I'd probably be like, okay, nice, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Exactly. I was going to say, I think anybody who knows you kind of knows that. And that's probably why you didn't get a lot of bad advice because like, you know what? I know Anita, and she's going to tell me to go fuck myself, so I'm just going to keep this opinion right here in this little noggin, and I'm not going to share that, because I know her, and I know her mouth. She's going to tell me, take a fucking walk, keep shit to myself. I'm just not even going to share. So did you feel like your friendships changed? After you had her, like...
Did they what?
Like, your friendships. Do you feel your friendships, like, changed after you became a mom?
Yes, I do. Not only for a little while. This is how I like to put it. You know, I am the one who changed the friendships because I'm the one who decided to have her. And I gave up...
Thank you so much for saying that.
You know, I gave up my life and everything until she was really about four. And then I finally went on vacation with Olivia and took her away to Punta Cana. And that was finally, like, you know, me kind of, like, living a little bit because anybody who knows me, I love to travel. I've been a lot of places. And that was, like, that was tough, like, not being able to do, you know, the little things I wanted to do. Or even when I did go to Florida, you know, I bring her with me. So I feel like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm glad you said
they
that.
Change,
because...
But it's all temporary.
Because yes, it was.
It's as long as you make them. Because you have to give up a little. You can't just always go out. You can't. You have to. And I didn't want her to be babysat and all this crap. No. I'm going to give up everything for her. And I'm glad I did because she's great now. And now, you know. It's easier for me to, because she's older, and all that stuff is coming back. My friendships, my, you know, traveling, my everything.
Yeah.
Everything is coming back. So I do feel like things change, but it's just for a little while. Because I feel like that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to go out. It wasn't even
like
I was missing out on anything.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything because I was watching all these milestones and her developing and changing and growing, and every day something new was happening. And, you know, she's my little munchkin. She was, you know, cling to my hip. And, you know, it's my little cup. So it was like, you know, I didn't feel like it was hard for me to say, oh, no, I can't go, or, you know, I'd like to, you know, I would try to touch base with people, but yes. It would be months I wouldn't talk to people or, you know, weeks or whatever. But then now look at things, you know, I still have my friendship. I still have myself, like, you know.
Yeah, I was like, we're still friends. We survived.
And they just go bomb, total, and that's it. They don't know who they are anymore. You know, they don't keep them their own identity.
Yeah.
They just become mom, and that's it. And then they hang out with mom. They cut all their other relationships off. That's definitely not me.
Yeah.
You know, I still keep my identity, but I'm a mom too.
Exactly. But I'm just glad, as a person who is childless and has been the friend of many women who have had children, and it's like, for you to say, like, I'm the one who changed the friendship. You know, I've had a friend say to me, like, oh, you realize who your real friends are when you get pregnant, and da-da-da. It's like, I didn't change. I didn't change. I stayed the same. I did the same stuff. I went to the same places. I worked at the same job. I lived in the same place. I went to the same bars, same clubs.
Right.
I did the same amount of shopping. I didn't change. Nothing in my life happened that made me any different. But yours did. And we adapted. You know, I was very excited. I was her auntie. You know, I still had a role in your life. It changed temporarily, as you said. It was temporary, but I think in recognizing that you were not a victim in the friendship changing, that it was, you know, it was something you did, and then we all can, you know, kind of adapted to it and made it happen. But I have heard people say, and even to me, like, oh, you find out who your real friends are when you have a kid. I'm just like,
I didn't need
to make any changes, ma'am.
Right. I would totally disagree with that, because just like you said, you didn't change. You didn't do anything different. You know, the person that's becoming the parent, you're supposed to, you know, you're going to fall back from your friends. You're going to fall back from these relationships. But then when your child gets that little bit more independence and they're taking that 2-hour nap or whatever, you're the one that needs to reach out, because you know what? Most of your friends, they don't know what the heck's going on. They don't know what your schedule is. They don't know
exactly. Sleeping.
So, you know, if you're trying to get rest, I mean, you know, so you kind of have to be the one to say, you know, 5 fucking minutes, man. What's up?
Yeah. I remember when you would call me and I'd be at my friend's Rusty's and I'd grab my phone and run outside like she got 5 minutes for me.
It was like,
hi, what's going on? How you been?
Talk now and never, because, you know, you don't have that time. So I totally would disagree with people who say, like, you know, find out who your real friends are. What are people supposed to do?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think I was supposed to have a kid and be down to just come over with my little...
Too.
I have a baby. Can I hang out with you?
Well, that's just it too. Like, come on, no, that's just not. That's why I said the comment earlier with the people that just drop their friends and then they only hang out with the people who have kids. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they now these other people aren't worthy anymore. You know what I mean? Because you changed and you got mad at them because you're saying they did. Like, you know,
I think it's also the age that you did it. You know, you didn't feel like at 25 you weren't really missing out. You know, we had been going out since we were like, what, 21? You know,
you
did the damn thing already for like 4 years. And then on top of that, you weren't missing out. And then on top of that, you were young enough that you knew, okay, when she's 10, I'm only going to be 35. I can still go on all sorts of girls' trips and do whatever. Like, you had her at a time where I don't think you really had to be concerned either. It was like, I got to party for a while, and I'll party again in a few more years. Like, I'm not missing out.
No, not at all.
And all the time that you spent with her, it was okay when you finally were able to come to Miami. You know, and as I told her before, you can come to see Auntie Erica another time. But mom's going to have some Auntie Erica time too. And you were able to come to Miami and do the thing because of all the time that you did spend with her. You didn't have to feel like, oh, I'm neglecting her, I'm leaving her, or anything like that, because you didn't do that when she was younger. So you didn't have to feel like, oh, she's been spending all this time with babysitters and now I'm leaving.
Right. No.
That was never the case for you.
Didn't have that feeling at all. And there was a couple of times that I did that I did my vacations, you know, and she was with her father, with Pierce, you know, so it's, I even left her that with just complete anybody, you know, but it was like, I did a lot of giving up, and by the time that I could do what I wanted to do, she was more independent, she understood what was going on, you know?
Yes.
I could tell her, you know, explain to her, and like you said, feel guilty? Absolutely not, because how much have I
sacrificed in?
Yeah. On, you know, the clothes, the shoes.
And I will say that like they are a family of three. Mom and dad are in the picture. So I just wanted to include that because when you left, she was with her dad. And you didn't have to, like, find sitters and, like.
Absolutely just to, not.
Because of the life that. I feel like your life could be different had he not been in the picture. So I just wanted to include that when you're saying all of this stuff, her dad is in the picture very much so. And we all went on a cruise together, and that was lots of fun.
That was fun. Yes.
Our family cruise. That was so much fun.
It was our family cruise. Yeah. We're going to have to do something like that. We definitely do.
Yeah, we gotta. That was so much fun.
And it was good because guys got to bond too, and she was happy because I had already been to Miami, and now she got to see when I got, you know, where I stayed and when I visited you know.
She got to see my apartment finally.
Now she has her best friend, so she knows the importance of, you know, how do you feel when you don't see your best friend for a couple of weeks. I don't see mine for a year, and she's like, crying, I'd be upset. I said exactly. So now it's why I'm going to see you in July.
Exactly.
it's that time again.
I'm like, I'm counting down the days. I'm scratching them off on the calendar. I'm like, my best friend's coming.
I'm so excited because again, it's that time that I'm going to do something on my own. It's been a long time since I've done that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, like a one-year thing.
Speaking of friendship. How do you, because I love you and Anna Leah's relationship so much, how do you, and I know this can be hard because Anna Leah is an only child, and one thing that's funny about me, I'm actually a middle child, but growing up, my older sister lived with my great-grandmother, so I had experience for a while almost being an only child, not my mom's only child, but being the only child in the house, and I know that me and my mom, we started to become really good friends. Like, my mom was my best friend. But, you know, as moms do, she would often say to me, I'm not one of your little friends. Don't talk to me like that. So, because you guys are the two girls in the house and you're so tight, how do you walk that line between mom and friend where it doesn't get like, I'm the cool mom? And
right. I've always been the disciplinarian since the beginning. Pierce is more the lenient one. I've already taken that role. So we have a very strong bond. But because I've talked to her and explained to her a lot of things and I'm honest with her, she realizes that I can't just be your buddy and your friend. And when I tell her things that, you know, she's doing wrong and I explain to her why or why she's in trouble or it seems like I'm the Wicked Witch of the West, even though at that moment she'll be upset or whatever, but our bond is so strong that it's just, she understands my role. She knows I can't be her friend. I know I can't just be her friend.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
You know? We can have our time, but I have to be mom, and I have to play the role I'm supposed to play.
Yeah.
So, kind of hard sometimes because you want to be, you know, that cool, but, or whatever person, you know, or, but I understand I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know? I'm not going to pretend for 1 second like this is why I have Anita on the show, because I'm not a mom, so I'm not going to pretend for 1 second like I know. But I do remember when I was younger, you know, we all used to, all of us 80s babies who grew up in the 90s with all the talk shows, you know, we all used to race home and watch all the talk shows. And I do remember them saying, kids love discipline. And I was like, I don't like no discipline. What are they talking about? But kids like discipline because it shows that you care. If you let your kids do whatever the hell they want, it doesn't look like you care. So when you set discipline, it's like, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this for you. And I think that's why you don't have to be the cool mom or the best friend mom, because it's like, I don't have to be your friend to show you that I love you. I'm showing you I love you every time I correct you, every time I try to fix your behavior, every time I'm telling you what it is that you need to be doing. I'm guiding you because I love you and because I care. So you don't have to be the cool mom.
Couldn't have said it any better, because that's exactly how I talked with her.
Yeah.
And she knows that, and she feels it. She knows. And kids do need that. They need discipline. They need structure.
Yeah.
You know, told if they're doing something wrong. You know, you can't be just their friend, because then when it's going to be too late by the time you do try to tell them to do something. Yeah. Now they're not going to want to listen to you because you've been their friend this whole time.
Yeah.
Now you're going to tell me what to do? No, you can't do that. That's why I had to have structure and discipline from day one, because I knew if I did it in the beginning, it now benefits her. She's older. I don't really have to do too much with her because she knows better. Before, like when she was younger, if she wanted something, I told her no. She knew no was no. You know, she wouldn't be sitting there flipping out, begging and everything else. You got these other kids, they do that. The kid, 5 minutes later, now you're saying, oh, okay, you can have it now. That is not the type of person I was.
Yeah.
If I say misbehave, now you're not having that ice cream. You weren't having that ice cream.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Remember? You know? You just reminded me when your brothers, because, okay, this is how long I've known Anita. I've known her since before her siblings were alive. So they all grew up with me being their big sister too. And, you know, we were watching them a lot. You know, that's how it is. I think nowadays, you know, parents get nannies and babysitters and stuff like that. When we were growing up, if you had an older sibling, that's who was taking care of you all of the time. There was none of this get a babysitter, get a nanny. It was like, your sister's your babysitter. That's just how it was. So we had these kids a lot, and I did not play. I love those kids to pieces. They knew it. They knew I love them very much. But when it came to laying down the law, I was like, listen here.
And they knew that.
We will play our games. But when it is time to shut up and go to sleep, we are going to shut up and go to sleep. And
that's right.
They knew that. But till this day, you know, now I'm like friends with them on like Instagram and stuff because they're older and they know how much I love them. They never doubted that. They never thought for 1 second, you know, that I was just being the mean girl. They knew that it was because they were like, okay, we got to do what we're told. And she's not going to play with us.
And if we weren't the ones to tell them, then they would just do whatever they wanted.
Whatever.
Other circumstances.
Run amok.
They just do run wild.
As so many kids we grew up with did. And look how that turned out.
When you have one, you get to know how smart they really can be.
Yes.
Can be very manipulative, even at very, very early ages. So you have to always be on them. And that's why you can't just be leaving your kids with this one, that one, the other, because the kid doesn't learn. That's why I didn't leave her. I needed her to know this is, I wanted to raise her the way I want her to be. And so that's why I stuck with it.
Yeah.
And now, like I said, she listens, you know, and if she does something wrong, she gets in trouble. It's just different. Other children I'll see, you know, now the parents are trying to discipline them and tell them what to do. It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
You know, I feel like it starts right away.
I mean, I don't want to say it's too late in the way, like, give up on your kid, they're fucked up. But I just mean, like, it ain't going to be easy. It's not. It's going to be, like, next
year. Right, now it's getting harder. Oh, it'd be so much harder,
because
I feel
you can't
like.
Teach them that this is okay by not. By not making them stop whatever the behavior is, allowing it to go on, you're saying that it's okay. So how do you now tell them the behavior that you've been doing for so long is not okay all of a sudden?
Exactly.
Like, how do you do that?
It's very tough.
So have you, Analia's 10 now?
She will be 10 next month.
Next month. Yep. Yes. So have you, now that she's in school and she's getting older, I'm going to start touching on some of the stuff that made me, like, terrified to be a mom.
Okay.
So now that she's 10 and you've shown her how you want her to be as a person, now that she goes to school and she's around other people, have you had to deal with situations like bullying? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I've had to deal with that. She's the type of person that she thinks, you know, everybody should get along. She sticks up for people. So if she sticks up for people, people will, you know, kind of pick on her for it. And then now they're going to give her a hard time. So she's dealt with a few cases of bullying. And it's so surprising to me because, I mean, we didn't go through that. I mean, I didn't go through it, so I didn't really know how to deal with it. But now, you know, things are better and in control. But at the time, it was very hard to explain to her that, you know, this is something you're probably going to go through forever. There's always going to be going to say something to you or not like you or tell you your shoes are ugly or, you know, I said, this is the, it's not going to be the last time, you know. So you kind of, not that you have to get used to it, you just have to know who you are and be happy with who you are as a person and love yourself and realize that these people really don't matter.
Yeah.
At the day, hanging out with them in the summertime, are they going on vacations with us? Are they, you know, at our house? You know, I said, you have to work out, you know, you have your own family, you have your own circle of friends, you have the people that you know, you have your cousins, you have people that love you, you know? So I've tried to teach her that, you know, you can't, you gotta, she's not like mommy.
Yeah.
She's like more kind and gentle. So I try to tell her, like, you know, you gotta get it out of that pinky toe because I tell her to roll the door and, you know, just stick up for yourself.
Yeah.
But she just, and I say, you just have to not care, you know? But I know for her, like, she does care. She doesn't understand, you know, why people have to be so cruel and mean. Why can't, like, you know, everybody.
Yeah, and also because when you've been raised a certain way, you're like, they're wrong.
Right.
Like, don't they know that they're wrong? Because I know I wasn't, you know, I wasn't raised like that. I remember when I first experienced, like, you know, kids being mean in school, I was like, who raised them? Like,
and that's how she
don't they know they're doing this wrong? Like, that's not how you're supposed to be.
That's right. That's right.
So what would you do? I mean, I can't imagine ever because I know her. But what would you do if you found out you had a kid who was bullying? Like, your kid was the bully.
If I found out with the bully, boy, she wouldn't have much in her room. Is she'll be doing homework the old way. Pull out all the 90s stuff. Oh, you want to listen to a radio? I go find a boombox. Oh, a door?
No,
oh,
you TV, don't have no those. Internet, no door.
You don't have privacy anymore in this house, you know? I don't know exactly how I would deal with it, but she would learn, and I would have to try to find it within myself, you know, what went missing here that, or what is going on with my child that they feel that they have to be mean to somebody else to make themselves feel better or to make themselves feel superior or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, and because, you know, recognizing that it's also the parents' responsibility that kids just don't show up deciding to be the bad kid or being, you know, the bully. They don't just go to school like, oh, I want to see what it's like to be a bully today. Like, there's something going on in the kid's life. And that's not to put every single thing on parents. Some people do make decisions in their life to be a certain way regardless of how they're raised. But if you're 10 years old, it's probably something that's happening at home.
Absolutely.
And just being able to talk to the child and be like, hey, what's
going
on? What changed? I think that's what's different?
That's where I would start. I would reflect with, you know, what's going on here, but there'd also be consequences, you know?
Yeah.
can't go around acting like that. So now this is what I have to do to you. You know, I have to take this away, that away, the other, you know, until you start acting kind. And I would have to figure out where is this coming from? You know, what's going on with my child?
And I think that's something you guys do really well is have like
around. I'd have to, you know, look at the whole situation. Who's my kid been around? What, you know, what happened?
Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing that I love about you guys' relationship is that you have great communication.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about everything and everything. You discuss it in the moment, too. It's not like, oh, I just got home from work. I'm so tired. I can't even deal with her right now. It's like, hey, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. Why are you doing that?
That's
and
right.
Then you go on to change your clothes and do what you wash your makeup off and do what you got to do. But you don't take that moment to be like, you know what? Fuck it. Let her do what she wants. I'll handle it next time. You're like very much like, we need to talk about this. What are you doing? Don't do that. You know better.
At the moment, right?
So I guess, okay. So I'll ask also, what now that it's been 10 years as a mom,
mm-hmm.
what do you look back like, I didn't know I would get this out of it. Like, I didn't realize I would see this shift in myself. Or, like, what did you get out of? What have you gotten out of the last 10 years of being a mom?
I feel like I've actually really gotten to know myself better. Because you kind of have to look at every single thing you do as a person. In front of your child.
Yeah.
So it really makes you question and just kind of get to know yourself on another level that you didn't know. I feel like I'm a bit more calm a person.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like she's brought in really good energy into my life. And I feel like, you know, she's taught me things too. You know?
Yeah.
It's a hard question to answer because I feel like it can go really deep. Like this is a lot. That's a very important question. Right there. Like,
that's why I saved it for last. No, but I mean, even in being an auntie, you know, when I'm around them, I want to be. Almost like I want to be the best me. Like, I want to be a great example, you know?
Right.
Like, they're, especially because you've done such a good job. I'm not going to go over there, like, drunk off my ass. Like, hey, you want to play with auntie? Like, you don't show them that. So I mean, as a responsible adult, I wouldn't do that anyways. But I mean, like, you are very careful about what she's exposed to, about what she sees, about who she's around, about.
What she cares, you know, you never talk around your children.
Yes.
Our adult conversations.
Yes.
Like
you don't bash people around your kids. You don't gossip around your kids. Like,
and
for you.
One good thing, too, that I can say, even when Pierce and I disagree on something, if he says she can do it and I say she can't, we discuss it after.
Yeah.
Instead of in front of each other saying, you know, why I said, you know, I didn't want, and then him saying, hey, no. We just kind of go even whether she can either do it or she doesn't.
Yeah.
And then discuss it later, not in front of her, and say, you know, next time, like, you know, pull me aside and say this or the reason why I, you know, we never.
Yeah.
Because we don't want her to think that, okay, you know, she's got a hold on of us.
Yeah,
you know,
that she could, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna do this. I'll only ask dad. I'm not gonna ask mom anymore, you know, or whatever. Or I just don't want her to feel like she can, you know. Just manipulate her.
Yeah, have that power in the house.
Not discuss certain things when it comes to her in front of her.
Yeah.
You know, even if we're at the moment, like, are you kidding me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really didn't want her to do that. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
or whatever it may be.
I'm auntie to everybody, so whenever I'm around any of the kids, it's like I'm trying not to, you know, my mouth. I'm trying to like take it easy and not curse as much. I'm like, okay, let's wait till she goes to bed to talk about what's really happened in my life, because I'm gonna give her the G-rated version. I'm gonna give you the other version later. I'm not just gonna sit there with my wine in my hand like, fuck these guys, man, fuck these guys. And she's like, what is going on over there? Why are we saying fuck the guys?
What's wrong with them damn guys?
I don't know what's going on, but apparently my auntie does not like the guys. We save all those conversations for after bed. You know, but I try to go and just be, like, the best example I can be, the best level of me that I can be. So it's, like, I can't imagine as a parent, like, how that changes you and how that just makes you want to be a better person, you know? Like, even with my little sister, she's had so many dreams that she's tried to pursue. And I feel like it's harder to pursue these dreams when you don't have examples of people who have actually followed and fulfilled theirs, which is one of the things, like, I've wanted to podcast for so long. And that's one of the things that, like, finally pushed me to do it is, like, imagine Analia's like, well, Auntie Erica, what did you want to do? You know, and I'm still in retail 30 years from now. I mean, hey, if maybe I'm 50 and I still want to be in retail, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's, I want to at least be able to tell her when she tells me I have a dream, I want to do this. And it's like, oh, I had a dream that I wanted to podcast and I did it. You know, maybe that's, it flopped, maybe it sucked, but I did it. And she'll get to see that, you know, regardless of if it's not a normal job or if there's different things out there that people are saying, like, you can't do this or you can't do that. I want her to see that you can do it.
That's right.
And that's just from her being my niece. That's not even from me having a kid. So that's why I was really, you know, wondering, you know, what you got from it and, you know, how it's affected you. Because I can already tell as an auntie how it's affected and change me, you know, when I'm around her, I'm just like in awe. She's so us, like everything she does, her little faces, her expressions, her crazy voices. I remember we walked in the house, you had come to pick me up from the train station when I was coming to sleep over one weekend, and Pierce had her in the house, and he's like, oh, wait till you go inside and you see her. So I went in and she was like frozen. I was like, hey, Analia. And she like wouldn't move. And Pierce looks at me and he goes, she's a statue. And I was like, oh, she's a statue. I was like, well, that sucks because I'm leaving now. So it's like, she's got to stay there. And he's like, if you wanted to move, you just got to say, don't be a statue. So I was like, Analia, don't be a statue. And she's like, oh. Like she's been holding that pose for 2 days. I was like, that is so something we would have did as kids. Like, oh, I'm a statue. Yeah.
She's definitely playful and creative, and she's really good with the technology and stuff. But one thing I can say, like, yeah, I let her do all her technology things, but she also has, like, a good imagination, plays, and I've always tried to have her do that. Like, go outside, go play, go do something else, you know, take time from the, you know, the normal TV, the iPod, the iPad, all the different tablets that we've gone through since she was little. We have them, but we did definitely, you know, give her those breaks. And I feel like that's helped because now she kind of balances it out herself now. Yeah. You know, where she wants to do this whole YouTube thing. You see what she's doing, you know. But she also takes breaks from, you know, and she loves her Fortnite and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But she takes her own. Oh, I'm going to take a break from that for a couple of days or whatever and stuff like that just so that she can go play outside and just use her, like, creativity and, like, her imagination. I did try to keep that. So her hearing, you know, you doing your podcast, it is a big deal. I told her for 2 seconds about this, and she is already super excited for you. Yeah. She has no idea.
No, I saw her YouTube and I was like, I can't wait to go home because we're gonna do challenges together. Like, don't tell her I said that because I want to tell her myself and see her face. But no, we're definitely gonna do challenges. We're definitely gonna do TikToks. Like, I want to see her. Oh, Richie's like, get her on the show. I saw her YouTube video. And I showed Richie when she's, like, tasting the spicy noodles. And I'm like, look at her face. I make that face. Look at her. Because it's just so funny watching, like, this little person who's so much like you. Because we're so much alike. Exactly. So, obviously, if she's exactly like you, she's a little like me. So
Exactly. It's funny.
Richie's like, she's hilarious. Get her on the show. She's so funny. I'll probably pod while I'm there anyways.
Because just in case she becomes famous, you're
gonna I'll have the video when I had her first.
Like, I know, right?
What if she blows up? Like, her YouTube channel goes crazy. It's
like, little her.
I'm gonna be like, you saw her here first.
That's right. That's right.
I got the exclusive.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. But no, I like hearing that she goes outside to play because, so I lived in Roxbury, Massachusetts before I moved to Brockton when I was 12 years old. And I had never really played outside. I lived in bad neighborhoods. I lived in dangerous neighborhoods. And then by the time we did move to like a decent place in Roxbury before we moved to Brockton, I was just like so used to being a kid in the house. I just read books all day and had no real desire to be outside. But when we moved to Brockton, like, friends had backyards. That was not something I was used to, having a backyard, being able to go outside and play. I like just learned how to ride a bike because I was never outside. So when I was in Brockton, that was like, I had a bike and like, I was riding to the store and I was like, I can ride to the store. Like, I wasn't used to living anywhere where I could do that. And Anita got me taking hikes in the woods and I was like, we're going in the woods. Like, this is crazy. But that was like such a good time in my life. Like, if it wasn't for you, I never would have did anything like that. So to hear that even in the age of technology, when everybody's stuck in the house, she still wants to go outside and play. I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, don't go in the woods. That's a bad idea. I don't know why we did that. It's not the best idea, but don't.
No.
Probably not the best idea. But at least we were outside. We were getting fresh air. We were.
That's right.
We weren't stuck in the house all day. We went on some good walks.
Sure did.
Might have smoked some cigarettes on the walk sometimes, but we were outside. We were getting.
Yeah, she has no idea.
No who idea. I am.
She does. She knows me, but she has no idea who I am.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to stop right there because she wants to listen to this podcast. So I should probably not tell all your bad little dirty secrets.
I'll let her the math of it.
Oh, well, that's enough.
All right.
Looks like it's dinner time.
Time to do something else. I'll know what question you left off at.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap this up.
Bonus question.
A bonus question?
Yes. I'm always
You have a question for her. Yes, please, Richie.
I'm always curious about names. Like, how did she come up with that name? Was that the first option?
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Analia?
I have a funny story that goes along with this, but go on. How did you name her Analia?
Was that the first option?
It was not the first option. And actually, I had no idea what I was going to name her. And I was over a friend of mine, Tanya Santiago's house. And we were talking about names. And she was giving me all these beautiful names for girls.
Yes.
And her son overheard us talking, Tejon, and he ran over to the room and he said, what about Analia? And she said, boy, get back in the other room. Yeah, this is Del Pops today. We're talking here, you know. And I said, no, come back. And I said, what did you say? And he said, Analia. And I said, that's different. I said, I like that. And she said, oh, I think at the time he was in daycare, went to school with the little girl named Analia. Maybe he might have like, you know, oh, I like Analia, whatever. And I said, I really like that. And she took a piece of paper, I remember, and she wrote it down about five or six different ways that I could spell it. And I kind of had that name stick with me for a little bit. And then when I had her, I was thinking, like, because Bella, I kind of liked Bella. Yeah. So I thought maybe Isabella or Annabella, and then Analia. And then for 3 days in the hospital, she didn't have a name. And then the more I looked at her, she just looked like Analia.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Analia, and then John calls her Analia. So you can say it whatever way you want to say it, the way it's spelled. So
first off, there's an episode on Friends, right? When Rachel doesn't know what to name her daughter, and she's like asking Monica, you know, like, oh, I need a name. And she's like, I'm not going to tell you the name that I want to name my daughter because you're going to take it. And she's like, no, I won't take it. Just give me an idea. And she's like, no, I'm not telling you because you're going to take it. And she's like, tell me. So she's like, okay, Emma. And she's like, oh, because she knows she's going to take it. And I remember Anita, ever since I was like, you know, like I said, I never wanted to have kids, but I was like, always like, if I have a daughter, I'm going to name her Bella because I just love like Italian say like ciao Bella, and I was like, I always love Bella. I just think it's a beautiful name. And she was like, I think I want to name her Bella, and I was like, what?
And I think I wanted to name like Isabella or Annabella just so I could call her Bella.
Yeah, and I was like, whatever, I'm not having kids anyways, take it. But you were like, oh, I just want to call her Bella, and I was like, oh. But then I remember when you told me Tejan, who was like the love of our lives, when our friend Tanya used to go to school, we would like take him, well, mostly Anita, but I think I took him like once or twice, or like I helped you when I was there, and he was just the sweetest little guy. We loved that kid so much, and I just thought it was so funny that was like, I think that was like my first friend who had a kid that I sat with and watched, and like he knew I was Auntie Erica. Like, that was the first one. So for him to name Anita's baby was just like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
He did. He gave me the name. And anybody who ever asked me that, I always have to tell them the story.
Yeah, that it was Tejan, my little peanut butter baby. That's what I used to call him because he looked like peanut butter.
Yeah, I think he was like 7 or 8 or something at the time. Yeah. He was little. And he was just, you know, joining in. I don't know, what about this name? And she's like, get out of here, boy. We're gonna talk.
What's
and
really funny is like when she told me this, I was like, Anita, you said he was in the other room. Was he watching TV? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, because that teen pregnancy show, Teen Mom, the girl had twins and one of them she named Analia. I was like, I think he got the name from that teen pregnancy show.
Oh my goodness.
Because it was like, I forget the other little baby's name because Analia was the one that stuck, but it was like Analia and like something, but it was twins. It was twin girls, and like their names were like something like that. But I was like, I think that's where he got it, but it was just the sweetest thing that
was too.
Our and first little guy named.
I got that name. I mean, and she is Analia.
Yeah.
There she is.
Okay, so is there anything that I left out? Is there anything that you would like to tell a new mom or somebody considering the idea? Any gems you want to drop before we close out?
Jeez, let's see here. Let me think. Gems. Just about that thing about if you're having a baby, you just be as loud as you want.
Heck yeah, I think that's great advice.
Just like Beacon did, don't ever hush around your baby. No tiptoeing, and they will sleep through any noise. If you start from the beginning, that's probably like the best tip that I can give. It's the best tip that was given to me. You know, I really think that for everybody, they just kind of goes into their own
instinct.
You know, their own instinct, their own mommy mode. You know, whatever that might be. You know, and it works. Everybody has their own thing.
Yeah,
I guess,
listen to your gut. Listen to your instincts.
Yes. Listen to your instincts. Don't let anybody tell you you're doing it wrong. Do this. This works for me. Because you always have to remember every child is different and every parent is different. Yeah. You know, and don't expect your child to have the same personality as you. And I think a lot of parents think like just because you had the child is gonna have your same, you know, personality, or you might have these high expectations. They're their own people. You just have to get to know them.
That I think that's the best right there. I think we're gonna close out right there. I think that was phenomenal. I think that was great. So thank you, Anita, for stopping to the runoff. As always, guys, thank you for listening and bearing with me through my learning process. I hope you enjoyed and had fun and got some insight and some laughs. And I'm sure we'll have Anita on the show again. And thanks for listening to The Runoff.